What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 147, and today we're going to be touching on mental health and just the drastic rise in depression and anxiety and panic disorders. If you know, I mean, honestly, we all know somebody who suffers from one of those conditions, and the rates are on the rise. They're definitely not going down, so we want to talk about what's going on with that and maybe give some helpful advice for people out there who really don't know where to start, who are kind of scared or don't want to go on medications. We're going to go through what's going on and maybe some tips to help. And Tom was reading a book that kind of touched on this, so he was the one who really wanted to talk about it because it really is a problem that is affecting everybody across the world.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you ever take like an abnormal psychology class when you were in college?
Abnormal psychology?
Yeah, so like kind of when you did, when you learn about all the mental disorders?
No, the only thing that really touched on this, I took a class on drugs, like basically like street drugs, and it touched on mental health in that aspect, but that was it.
Okay, so when you go through abnormal psychology, you learn about depression, you learn about schizophrenia, you learn about kind of everything, narcissism, and when you like go through the checklist, like you can relate to every single mental disorder. It's kind of a weird course to take. It's like, every time you walk by a mirror, do you look at it? It's like, okay, that's a trait of being narcissistic. And it's like, well, I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, for depression, are there times where like you don't want to get out of bed? I mean, like, who doesn't have those days? Mm-hmm. But it's like for it to be like a mental disorder, it's like an extreme thing. But it's kind of weird. It's like, I don't want to say that this only affects some people, because I think mental disorders affect everybody. It just depends on like where on that spectrum you really are. But everybody can relate to a bunch of different mental disorders.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just from my own personal experience, I'm not a naturally like depressed guy. Like, I don't think I've ever been like really depressed in my life, not that I can think of. And I don't know, if I had to go talk in front of people, I really wouldn't get anxious. It is what it is. I'm not an anxiety type of guy. But there are, like Tom said, there are days where you don't want to get out of bed. I can relate to that. There are certain situations that I don't look forward to, you know what I mean, that cause some sort of anxiety. I can kind of look forward to that. But it's on that kind of heavier end where they are crippling, these conditions where, you know, you can't leave your house. You have real bad social anxiety. You can't, like, go to Starbucks and get coffee. That's not in your reality. That I can't relate with. And I also feel really bad for people like that because, you know, if you have a broken arm and you have a cast, I can visually see that you're hurt. But if you have a mental disorder, there's no like outward sign that you're hurting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is this person having mental issues or is this person just an asshole?
Exactly.
Like, you can't really tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's why, I think it's why it's important to talk about it. It is a taboo in a lot of cultures, but in, you know, 2021, we're getting a little more inclusive with everything. So I think it's a little easier to talk about this stuff. But I just wanted to start with talking about kind of the big numbers as far as, you know, depression and anxiety, that type of stuff, because I don't think a lot of people know how prevalent this stuff really is. So just in the United States itself, it's estimated that 322 million people have depression. Or excuse me, that's not in the United States. That's the size of the United States. And that's basically the number one cause of disability in the world. So just like stop right there. That shows how kind of bad this is. The number one disability in the world.
Yeah, that's really sad because it's definitely preventable. And that just means that the most people suffering from anything is depression. And that just seems like I would much rather have a headache. I mean, diabetes or something seems better than being depressed, because being depressed is like you feel worthless. you have such a negative outlook on life. Like, we talk about happiness and health all the time, and it's like, if you're depressed, like, you are never happy, or you're very, very rarely happy, and that just seems like kind of one of the worst things that can happen to somebody.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like torture. And so about 800,000 people per year commit suicide, and it's a number two cause of death for young people, which is crazy. That's a very crazy stat. And something that I was thinking, like, what can we do about this? Like, why is this happening? Because this wasn't normal a couple hundred years ago, a couple thousand years ago for sure. Like, in indigenous cultures, suicide and depression, anxiety, these things are very, very rare, if completely non-existent. So something's going on with the modern world that is definitely causing these conditions. And in my opinion, obviously I look at a lot of things through the lens of from a diet standpoint. I think it's a standard American diet. You know, it's high carb, it's high in processed fats, it's honestly highly processed foods in general. It's very low in quality vitamins and minerals, healthy fats, quality proteins are basically non-existent. And at the core of a lot of mental disorders is a neurotransmitter imbalance. So too much epinephrine, not enough dopamine, too much serotonin, etc. And there are several causes for these imbalances. Things like trauma leading to increased time in a stressed state. You have nutrient deficiencies. You have lack of sleep. You have lack of sun. And honestly, we've all experienced those things in the modern world. It's hard to get outside and get sun. It's hard to get a lot of sleep because we're all busy, so it makes sense. But
and usually it's a combination of several of those things, if not all of those things.
Exactly.
You know, like, if you're stressed out all the time, you're probably not sleeping. Like, if you're stressed out too, like, you're probably not going outside. And I'm willing to bet you're probably trying to eat more snack foods or something to get that happiness from food. So you're probably getting some nutrient deficiencies because you're eating donuts instead of something like bacon and eggs.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I don't think people just in today's world have a very unhealthy relationship with food. I personally don't think you should ever get your happiness from food. I'm not saying don't enjoy your food at all. You know, everybody out there eats a ribeye steak and enjoys it for the most part, at least. But don't go out there, eat cookies and ice cream and donuts and let that make you feel good. Because trust me, it's a vicious cycle. And at the end of the day, it's not doing you any good at all. So,
and usually you feel worse. Not only does your body feel bad, but now you feel guilty for eating it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you feel bad, so you do it again to feel better. It's just a vicious cycle. It's honestly no different than a drug addict chasing like a cocaine high. It's the same exact thing.
I just think of a quote from, I can't remember what Austin Powers movie it is, but it's like from Fat Bastard. He's like, I'm unhappy because I eat, and I eat because I'm unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's that cycle. So from a dietary standpoint, what's causing this? In my opinion, it's refined carbs and refined oils, things like seed oils, you know, canola, soy, those type of things. And from a social standpoint, it's chronic stress. And there's a million different things that can lead to chronic stress. And just looking at studies that try and link, you know, diet to mental health is kind of hard. There's really not a lot. And really, there's not a lot of studies on mental health in general, just because it is very hard to diagnose and treat. We're just modern medicine, Western medicine is not very good at dealing with mental health. But there are some studies and there are some links that have come up. So people with depression are 37% more likely to have diabetes. People with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia are 300% more likely to have type 2 diabetes. And the big one, 80% of Alzheimer's patients are diabetic. And we've done a podcast on Alzheimer's before. I think it's called Keto for Alzheimer's, so you can check that out. But there is a huge link between diet and Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's, I would think, is one of the worst mental health conditions you can think of. Just think of one day you woke up and you didn't know your wife, you didn't know your husband, you didn't know your kids, you couldn't remember your dog's name. That is, honestly, that's something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
Yeah, because that's not only bad for you, but that's bad for everybody around you. Just imagine if, like, you have a loved one that has that and they don't recognize you. You've been married to this woman for 50 years and she has no idea who you are.
Like that, yeah, it's so sad. And I see it at the hospital a lot and I think it's very, very sad. But and there is a link between diet and that. So check out that podcast for sure if you want to learn more about Alzheimer's and the diet connection there. And I'm not saying like insulin resistance and diabetes causes mental disorders. That's not what I'm saying. But we can draw some conclusions from this data and we can look at it deeper because we know what the brain needs to work optimally. Well, I said earlier, Western medicine isn't good at mental disorders, and that's very true. It's not. But over the years, we do know what the brain needs to work. And basically, it's very simple. It's vitamins, minerals, fats, and cholesterol. Those are the big four. Because 2/3 of our brain is fat. 20% of that fat in the brain is DHA. And that's a long-chain omega-3 fatty acid. 20% of the body's cholesterol is in the brain. So you can tell these fats and the cholesterol is so important. But the narrative nowadays to be healthy is being plant-based. If something says plant-based in a label, the layman out there just automatically assumes it's healthy. But guess what? Plant-based foods contain no DHA, which is the omega-3 fatty acid, and they contain no cholesterol. These are things that our brain needs to work optimally. And we need our brain to work optimally if we expect to be happy, healthy, all those things. And there's a whole list of vitamins and minerals. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so our body can make cholesterol and our body can make DHA, but it's not very efficient at making DHA. And one of the most prescribed drugs in our country, probably worldwide, blocks our bodies from producing cholesterol. I mean, we've talked about statin drugs, like, I don't know, in half of our podcasts, right, mm-hmm. so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, that's a very big issue because we're not consuming enough DHA from our diet, and we're taking drugs to block our synthesis of cholesterol. So, yeah, that's a very, very big issue.
Oh, yeah. And you know the 1-2 combo. If you go to any doctor, especially any, like, cardiologist nowadays, and you're having an issue, they're going to tell you to go plant-based, and they're going to put you on a statin. So your access to cholesterol goes to zero, and now your production of cholesterol is going to be cut in half, or at least dramatically reduced. And that is a recipe for disaster. That's why I don't recommend anyone taking statin. I think they are the biggest scam in the history of medicine, and I stand by that. And I think there is a ton of information to back it up. So you can go to the website, just type in statin, and you will see at least 20, 30, 40 papers going over all the side effects of statins. I hate statins. No one should take statins. And that's my rant on statins today.
Well, yeah, just basically to summarize it, like if you list like a pros and cons list, there's like the only pro is that it may prevent like older males from having a second heart attack. It's like the one pro. And then all the cons are it causes diabetes. It might cause cancer. It might cause you to have a heart attack. Like the list just goes on and on.
Everything
so like,
else.
Yes, a bunch of cons with one maybe pro.
Maybe pro. It's just not worth it. It's really not. But to go back to this, so plant foods and a plant-based diet, they don't contain any omega-3 fats, or at least any bioavailable omega-3 fats, and they also don't contain a ton of vitamins and minerals that our body needs, so things like carnitine, carnosine, big ones are going to be like zinc. Zinc is very important for our brain health. We're going to talk about that shortly. Any quality proteins, amino acids are very important for the production of neurotransmitters. Amino acids are not just used for building muscle. And of course, that's very important as well. You want quality protein, but plant-based have very, very few options for quality proteins. And we have a podcast on that as well, as far as the difference between plant-based proteins and animal-based proteins. But plant-based proteins, I don't care if you're talking about soy, they just don't compare to eggs. They don't compare to milk. They don't compare to steak in any way, shape, or form. So there's just a list of vitamins and minerals and just nutrients that you don't get on a plant-based diet. But that's being recommended by the big media. And I think that is leading to the increases in depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, all that stuff. So there are things we need to do to just change that. And obviously going to animal-based diet is one. But Tom's going to talk about, I guess, more like copper, zinc, all these other nutrients that are very important that are just lacking in today's world.
Yeah. So the following information is going to be coming from a book called Nutrient Power. It's by Dr. William Walsh. William Walsh. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. I love this book. It talks about all different types of mental disorders and then what nutrients are lacking. So we just kind of goes through them. So we'll just go through what are the most common nutrient imbalances. And those are things like copper overload, zinc deficiency, B6 deficiency, methylfolate imbalances. So that could either be too much or too little. Oxidative stress overload, and amino acid imbalances. I mean, I don't know if this list sounds familiar to you or not, but I mean, I'm pretty sure we've talked about almost all of those issues in several of the podcasts in the past. So copper overload is really common in mental disorders that have to do with hyperactivity, learning disabilities, postpartum depression, autism, and paranoid schizophrenia. Those are all very, very common nowadays. Hyperactivity, learning disability, that sounds like ADHD. Postpartum depression, unfortunately, is on the rise. We just talked about how common depression is earlier. Autism is another thing that's on the rise. And schizophrenia, I believe, is on the rise, but I'm not 100% sure about that one. Undermethylation, that's very common in the following disorders, like antisocial personality disorder, clinical depression, anorexia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, schizoaffective disorder. So again, all those are on the rise. And the reason that some of these things are linked is because copper is used in the synthesis of norepinephrine. So copper overload leads to like norepinephrine overload and dopamine deficiency. So if you don't know what norepinephrine is, think of adrenaline. Adrenaline and epinephrine are the same thing. So you're basically just in a stressed out state all the time, or at least your body thinks it's in a stressed out state all the time. So it's just creating a ton of oxidative stress, and dopamine is getting used up, and a whole bunch of other neurotransmitters and are getting used up in the process. So you're just throwing all these neurotransmitters out of whack. You have too much of this, too little of this. And in your brain, that's a very, very big deal. So dopamine gets used up, zinc gets suppressed as well. So vitamin B6 is required for the synthesis of serotonin. Serotonin later gets translated into melatonin for sleep. So serotonin, happy neurotransmitter, melatonin, that sleep neurotransmitter. So if you're low on B6, you're not going to be as happy, and you're not going to be sleeping as well. Dopamine is also used by B6, another one that makes you happy, and GABA.
And just real quick, so in a plant kingdom, the access to vitamin B is very limited. So if you want to get quality vitamin Bs, and it's all the B vitamins, including B6, you need to have some sort of animal foods in your diet.
Yeah, that's a great point, because like B12 does not exist in the plant kingdom at all. And B6 is in the plant kingdom, but it's just in the wrong form. So that's another one of those vitamins that is there. It just needs to be... It has to be converted. Synthesized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the good thing about zinc is that it's well absorbed by most people, and most people do get it enough through their diet, unless you're something like a vegan or vegetarian. So those are like the few people that don't get enough through their diet or might not be. But the big problem with zinc is that it's depleted by oxidative stress. Oxidative stress. I mean, we've talked about that in pretty much every single podcast. That's like the biggest thing that leads to disease. That's either oxidative stress caused by you over-exercising, or you just being stressed out, or you being on a shitty diet, like a high-carb, high industrial seed oils. Industrial seed oils, they lead to oxidative stress. Sugars, when we burn sugars, those lead to more oxidative stress. So, yeah, I mean, that's very, very common nowadays. So zinc gets used up in the process of that. And zinc is a key component of the blood-brain barrier. I don't think we've talked about the blood-brain barrier in the past. And the blood-brain barrier is exactly what it sounds like. It prevents toxins from entering from your blood going into your brain. It's there as like your brain's last defense. So if that blood-brain barrier is compromised, then that's a big issue, because stuff that can harm your brain can now have access to it. Think of it as like the bouncer in the nightclub, making sure like nobody going in. Or actually, think of it more like a metal detector, making sure nobody with guns, knives, anything like that enters that area. That's what it's there for, is make sure no harmful things can get to that brain. And if the zinc is low, that blood-brain barrier is compromised. And a few other things that zinc is used for, it's required for the synthesis of B6. We just talked about B6. It's also used for dopamine, serotonin, and GABA. And another thing with zinc deficiency is it can cause copper overload. So copper overload can lead to zinc deficiency, and zinc deficiency can lead to copper overload. I mean, that's a vicious cycle right there.
Well, and again, I keep touching on the plant-based aspect of this, but Where in the plant kingdom do you find really quality zinc?
I can't think of any.
Nowhere. Exactly. It's just not there. Any quality zinc in your diet is going to come from animal-based diet. Specifically, meat is very high in high-quality zinc. So that's just another reason how people don't think about copper, but all these things are kind of interconnected. So if you do have low zinc, your copper is going to be out of whack, and that's going to lead to issues.
Yeah, and another issue with the whole zinc thing, I mean, a lot of people have heard zinc a lot more in their life the last 18 months than they ever have. It's because, like, zinc is really important for our immune system. And professionals, or healthcare professionals, often overlook zinc because most people do get enough through their diet. So they don't think zinc deficiency should be an issue because, hey, if you're eating meat, like, you should be getting enough zinc. They just don't realize, they're not connecting the dots, that excessive oxidative stress leads to zinc deficiency, and they don't make that connection with copper overload. So, like, that's the big thing with zinc is, like, hey, like, you're eating enough, you should have it, but it's like, no, it's getting depleted because we're stressed out all the time, or we're eating a crappy diet, and just that oxidative stress is so high that our zinc is getting depleted too fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a podcast on how just stress can lead to heart disease, and if you're sitting in your car and you're in traffic and you're stressed out, you have road rage, you don't really think about what's going on internally, but internally your body is running through vitamins and minerals, going through various chemical reactions, and this will lead to a deficiency in zinc in this specific example. But you don't think about that. You go to work, you have a donut to feel better. You're never actually replenishing the zinc. And if you are on a plant-based diet, you're just going to always constantly be in a state of, like, low blood zinc levels.
So let's kind of move on to some of the amino acids that have a lot to do with mental disorders. So tryptophan is a big one, and tryptophan is used to make serotonin. So if you're not getting enough tryptophan, again, that's another one that's tied with, like, a plant-based diet. Everybody knows tryptophan when it comes to, you know, Thanksgiving. That's what everybody talks about, how, like, that turkey makes you sleepy. They associate that with tryptophan getting turned into serotonin, then getting turned into melatonin, making you sleepy. I think you get sleepy at Thanksgiving because you just ate a bunch of food, so all your blood is going to your gut. It is not going to anywhere else. So that's why you're sleepy, is because your entire body is, you know, focused on absorbing and digesting that big-ass meal that you ate instead of keeping you awake. Yeah. But that tryptophan does make you sleepy. It just takes a while. Tyrosine and phenylalanine are two other amino acids. Both of those are used to make dopamine and norepinephrine. We talked about how dopamine and norepinephrine, those have big impacts on mental disorders as well. Glutamine is another one. It makes GABA. Histidine makes histamine. I mean, methionine makes SAMe, which regulates neurotransmitter synthesis and reuptake. So that's a big one. And methionine is one of those amino acids that's very lacking in a plant-based diet. I know we talk about carnitine and carnosine a lot, like those are two of the biggest ones, but methionine is probably the third most important amino acid that's lacking in a plant-based diet.
Yeah, and you talked about earlier about methylation and how low methylation can be an issue. One of the key methylators is methionine. So having that load is like a double whammy.
Yeah, and when we're talking about SAMe, which, like, it regulates that neurotransmitter synthesis, so that regulates all of them. So that regulates serotonin, dopamine, and all the other ones that go along with it. So your body's not going to be making enough of them if it doesn't have SAMe, and it's not going to reuptaking, which means, like, it's going to be reabsorbing them. So one of the most prescription drugs, like, when it comes to mental disorders, is an SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. So, like, this methionine is lacking in most of those people. That's why they have an SSRI.
So you know what the real answer should be? Go eat a couple steaks. Don't take a drug. But that's not what these people are going to tell them.
Yeah. And go out in the sun so your body knows to start producing more serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this shouldn't come as a surprise if you've been listening to our podcast, but excessive omega-6 fatty acids in the diet is very common in most of these people. And again, that just has to go with the overload of all that oxidative stress that these omega-6 fatty acids cause. Yes, omega-6 fatty acids are essential, but they're not essential in the large amounts that we consume them in today. We're consuming way too much of them. Too much of a good thing is a bad thing, and that's how our philosophy about omega-6s is. It's like, oh, well, we need them, so let's eat a lot of them. And it's like, no, that's not how that works.
No,
we need them, but we need a very limited amount of them.
Super, super tiny. Yeah. There's a podcast we did on cardiolipin, and we've done plenty of podcasts on omega-6 facts, so check those out. But it's just like water. We need water to live, but go, you know, drink 10 gallons right now and tell me how you feel. You know, there's limits to these things.
Yeah, exactly. So we just talked about all these different nutrient deficiencies, but absorption issues are rare in most of these disorders. So you're not getting all these nutrient deficiencies because you're not absorbing them. It's somewhere else in the line. Absorption issues are the case in maybe 10%, most likely less than 10% of the disorders that we mentioned. But it is common in one, and that's autism. So 90% of autism patients do have absorption issues. So 90% of autism, 10% in all the other ones. So there's clearly something there when it comes to autism. And when you're talking about absorption issues, they have several causes. Insufficient stomach acid, incomplete absorption in the intestine, or damage at the brush border of the intestines. I think 2 and 3 are basically the same thing. But yeah, insufficient stomach acid. I know have we talked about that in the past?
No, we definitely talk about it with people we work with, but we've never actually done a whole podcast on it. But it's very prevalent, having low stomach acid, and the treatment for low stomach acid nowadays is going to be the symptoms of low stomach acid is going to be heartburn, and then the treatment we give it usually is some sort of acid suppressant, and that just makes your overall symptoms worse, and it's a chronic cycle, just like we talked about drugs earlier, so yeah.
Yeah, so you want to have a lot of stomach acid. That means you want your stomach acid to be at a very low pH. I know this sounds kind of confusing, but the lower your stomach acid pH, the better. Because we want that stomach acid. It's there for a reason. It's there to break down all our food. So by the time it hits our small intestine, it's easy to absorb. So if your stomach acid isn't breaking down food, primarily proteins, if it's not breaking down those proteins into amino acids efficiently, then by the time it hits your intestines, you're still looking at a full food and your intestines can't absorb it. So you need that stomach acid to be very strong, very powerful to break down those proteins into the amino acids. So that's why that's up there. And yeah, like Tyson mentioned, like one of the most prescribed drugs out there are antacids. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to raise that pH. That's a bad idea. And another thing that's very popular nowadays is that alkaline water.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in the store today, and I saw like some water bottle device that said, make your water over 9 pH. And I was like, why the hell would anybody want to drink that? Like, that's just going to, if you eat that or you drink that with a meal, good luck digesting the proteins in that meal.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, I mean, this is, I think the root cause for a lot of this plant-based narrative is just corrupt, but not even corrupt, but just businessmen who are making money. And they know they can sell plant food that costs them pennies for a markup because they can advertise it as healthy. And it's the same thing for this alkaline water. They found a way to make water, which is dirt cheap, and it should be more expensive because they kind of disguise it as a health option when it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, so basically, don't buy that expensive water. It's not good for you. And if you don't believe us, at least don't consume it with a meal or anywhere near a meal. If you're going to drink that 5 hours before a meal, go ahead. Yeah. I still think you're wasting your money, but at least that's not going to affect your digestion of anything important.
Yeah, honestly, if you really want to get the best bang for your buck from a stomach acid standpoint, you should drink water towards the end of your meals. And that's just standard water, but that's a little tip if you're having some sort of indigestion issues and you don't want to go out and buy HCL pills. Just don't drink water with a meal. Drink it afterwards and only as needed.
Yeah, and you also should be chewing your food enough so that you don't need to be drinking like water with every bite to like choke down that food. You should chew your food thoroughly so you can just swallow it on its own. I know people that do that, like they're like rushing through trying to eat like a steak really fast or something, so they just keep sipping water. It's like, no, just take your time, enjoy it, chew your food thoroughly, like that type of thing.
Oh, I am
definitely out a lot more.
Yeah, I'm definitely at fault for doing that sometimes. If I'm eating a bunch of food, I just kind of swallow it down with water. And I know it's not good for you, but yeah, I get it. You should chew your food thoroughly.
Well, I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus,
but that's me.
You want to admit to it. Like,
yeah, that is 100% me. Yeah.
So another thing that's like very common with this whole absorption issue is damage at the brush border. And this leads to poor absorption of nutrients, and it also allows toxins and heavy metals to enter the bloodstream. I know we talked about this several times in the past. I think was it in the donut episode? I know we talked about it in the
gluten episode.
Yeah, I think that was a donut episode.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was. It was lectins, gluten, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we also talked about it in the autoimmune disorder episode. So yeah, like this is very common. I mean, a lot of this has to do with standard American diet, selling everybody to eat 60% of their diet in high gluten-containing foods, like grains and oats and that type of thing. And yeah, like if you do that, you're going to cause a lot of damage at the brush border. And that's going to allow a lot of toxins and heavy metals to enter the bloodstream, as well as that being a very nutrient-poor food. That's high in carbs, that leads to more oxidative stress, and you're not getting zinc along with it. You're not getting all these other important vitamins and minerals that we talked about before. There's no DHA in cereal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, that, like I said earlier, there really aren't too many studies linking diet to mental health, but all the mechanisms are there. Like, we just outlined everything, why a diet that is basically the standard American diet, high in processed foods, low in any quality food, how that diet can lead to these conditions. I personally don't need a double-blind study to show that. Like, it's obvious to me. You just look around. People are sick. People are overweight. People are suffering from mental health disorders at a crazy rate. So why don't we just look at the standard American diet, which most people follow? So if you have these conditions out there, I think the best thing you can do is just fix your diet, get some sun, and start exercising. And I know that sounds so, I don't know, maybe cliche at this point, because that's what you're always told for everything, but that really is the answer.
Yeah, I mean, and if you are suffering from one of these issues, I mean, I would say definitely go seek help, because, hey, a good diet isn't going to fix past trauma. Like, if you have trauma, the best diet in the world isn't going to be able to cure that. But what it can do, like, it can fix all these other issues. It can help with some of these nutrient imbalances and help you balance your neurotransmitters a little bit better, so you're not making your situation worse. And that's, like, a big one. And when we talk about a good diet, especially, like, for this, like, liver and eggs are going to be your best friend, because those are high. Those two foods alone are high in pretty much every single mineral and nutrient that we just talked about. Eggs are a great source of DHA. Liver is a great source of B6, zinc. Pretty much everything you're going to be finding in eggs and liver, as well as all the other animal foods. I mean, steak is great by itself. It's good. It's going to contain everything. But, like, liver is, like, the superfood that contains a lot more zinc and B6, all that stuff. If you can't do liver, cod liver oil would be the next best thing. Mm-hmm. Or there's a lot of supplement companies out there that have desiccated liver that you could buy.
Yeah, and when you buy something like that, you actually don't taste the liver. It's basically just dried up liver in a pill. So just take a couple. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, it's better just to buy liver for a lot of reasons. But thinking from a financial standpoint, most liver is really cheap. Just because most people don't buy it, it's not very common. So you can get liver cheap, freeze it, and then cut it up into little slices and make pills yourself. That would be way more, financially safe. Because these liver pills, for whatever reason, I think they know they can. It's just expensive. If you take 3, 4, 5 pills a day, it adds up pretty quick.
Yeah, have you done that? Chopped up liver and, like, taken it as a pill?
No, I haven't.
So I did that one time. Or, like, I did that with, like, one thing of liver. And, but yeah, you can do it. It's kind of disgusting a little bit. Like, you have to get past that. Luckily, like, I have no – if I know something's good for me, I can do it. Like, it doesn't – that type of thing doesn't really bother me. But the issue that I ran into is I wanted to cut a bunch of it up and then freeze it. So that way I can just, like, go to the freezer and just take out my little liver pill one at a time. Well, when I chopped it all up, put it back in the freezer – it, like, all froze into, like, one big chunk.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, that defeated the purpose of it. And I just got too lazy to try. I was like, I'm not about to take out the liver, chop it up every single time I want it. So I just got over doing it.
Yeah, it's a hassle for sure. But, I mean, but if money's tight, it's an option just to think about. And maybe you can, tweak the method to make it a little bit better. But, yeah, just having a brick of chopped up liver isn't helping anybody.
Yeah, I mean, another option that I've done in the past is if you have a meat grinder, grind that up, add it into to like ground beef. You make some like liver and ground beef burgers. That's a good option. There are a lot of good recipes for liver online because people have been consuming liver for forever. Like everybody's known, except for today, that liver is a superfood. So there's a lot of great recipes out there. With liver, I would give them out, but I've been too lazy to really cook liver the right way. Yeah, the best method I found is like mixing it with ground beef. I feel like mixing anything with ground beef is always like an easy option.
Yeah, because you can always cover it with seasonings and stuff like that if you really want to. And onion's a pretty good mask for liver, but that's like an old trick. Tom's mom used to do that, like liver and onions, it's a thing.
Yeah, she would do liver and onions, but she would cook it all with like and bacon.
And
fat.
Bacon, yeah.
Yeah, and like I feel like bacon was the key there. I don't know if the onions were the key. I feel like the bacon is.
Bacon helped for sure, yeah.
Bacon helps everything.
It always does, yeah. but okay, that's another podcast in the books. Like we said, I mean, depression is a big deal, so hopefully this helps anyone out there who's suffering from stuff like that, or if you know anyone who is, feel free to share this information. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.